Welcome to Liberty Revealed, the only show where you will learn about all things liberty. Your host for the show is a registered libertarian who's been involved in politics for more than 25 years. He has a passion for teaching others about the concept of personal liberty. Please welcome your host, Mike Mahoney.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Liberty Revealed. I'm Mike Mahoney, your host, and today I have a guest with me. His name is Matt Plautz. He's a 17-year-old host of Unfazed with Matt Plautz. His podcast focuses on current events, comedy, philosophy, and various subjects that guests bring in. So please welcome to the show, Matt. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Mike.
So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Just excited to get going and talk a little bit about what we were talking about with Howard Schultz and everything like that. Talk about some independent candidates in just 2020 in general.
Sure. Well, before we jump into that, you know, since it is Super Bowl Sunday when we're recording, Patriots or Rams?
I'm Patriots. I got a Patriots jersey in my closet right now. I am a Bears fan, but they never make the Super Bowl, so I usually root for the Pats. And I got Pats right by 7.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a good game, that's for sure. So we'll see. So yeah, you mentioned Howard Schultz, and I mean, that's been the big uproar in the media. You know, everyone's afraid that Howard Schultz is going to run as an independent and take enough votes away from the Democrats that he will help reelect Donald Trump. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think it's a little ridiculous that everyone's attacking him for running as an independent when he is an independent. Like, what else would he be running as? He was a former Democrat, obviously, but he no longer aligns with the Democratic Party in terms of, you know, free college for all. He doesn't agree with, as far as I'm aware, free healthcare, just doesn't think it's affordable. So when your party has shifted, people leave the party. It's just like, you know, you wouldn't expect someone to continue to vote for the Democratic Party if their opinion has changed on it. So, I mean, on that side of things, I just think it's a little unfair for everyone to be so accusatory towards him when really it's just he's still very against Trump. Whether you like Trump or hate Trump, you can't say that Howard Schultz is trying to help out Trump in any way. And I don't think there's any guarantee that it really would help Trump, because personally, I've worked on the Republican side for a couple years now, and I know a lot of Republicans who are agitated with Trump, and I know a lot of Democrats that love him. So there really is no way. And just as you saw with 2016, deep diving and analytics doesn't really work anymore, because people are extremely unpredictable with how divided our nation is right now. So I don't know. I think they're being a little bit fair. What about you? Unfair. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that third-party candidates in general get bagged on. And you hear how if you're voting for a third-party candidate and you tell somebody, if they're Republican, they claim you're going to help get the Democrat elected. And if you're a Democrat, they claim you're going to help get the Republican elected. And like in the last election in 2016, I personally voted for Gary Johnson, and I was told by both sides, you know, you're going to help the other side get elected, you're going to take votes away. And so I asked them, well, you know, you're like a Democrat, you're assuming I would have voted for Hillary Clinton. I'm going to tell you something, if I was forced to vote for either, I wouldn't have voted. So
yeah,
you know, there's no, you can't use this, oh, you'd hurt my side, because both sides think that, and they're both wrong. I mean, the most third-party candidates, and that's what I find really interesting about Schultz, is he's saying, he's not just saying he's going to run as an independent, he's going to run as a centrist independent, which is, you're too young to remember this guy, but you probably have heard the name, Ross Perot.
Yeah.
He definitely affected that election, but it was because he ran more as a conservative independent. And so he created a situation that they're claiming Schultz is going to create. I don't think he will. I think if he runs with a position in the center, he's going to have a good chance of getting a lot of votes, but he's going to pull them from both parties.
Didn't Ross end up getting about like 15% in some states?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he did quite well. But of course, you know, similar situation to Schultz. He was a CEO of a major tech company. He had a lot of money to burn. And I mean, that's, you know, money and politics is another topic for another day. And maybe you can come on another time and we can talk about that. But
for sure,
for now, I mean, I think it's one of the weird things about our country is, you know, I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said, you know, we should avoid political parties. And, you know, I think he was right. I think political parties, what it does is you get some people who are automatically against Donald Trump because they're Democrat. And then you get some people who support anything he says because they're Republican. Mm-hmm. And rather than, you know, I've gone through the last 2 years as a libertarian. I've gone through the last 2 years going, well, okay, I like that idea. Oh, I hate mm-hmm. that idea. I can't believe he said that. I'm all over the place with it because he's all over the place. And that's how it should be. But then you get the people that are like in lockstep. And I know they're intelligent people because I know some of them personally. And you just say, how is it that you miss? Like, how do you feel about this wall that he wants to build?
The wall? Well, and yeah, just before I talk about that a little bit, I 100% agree. And what I always say is that you get entrenched with a two-party system. You're forced to check a box that you stand slightly closer to. And then everyone gets mad at you if you check that box was, oh, you agree with this that he said? No, I don't. I was forced to choose one of them because there isn't a viable third party. And so, yeah, that I totally agree that it's a broken system. I don't know that parties are necessarily the problem. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But I think the lack of choices, it's just not representative to the population. You know, you have people that couldn't check Republican or Democrat, and that's why there should be 4 to 5 parties, maybe even more, maybe less. But with the wall, it's a hot button issue, and I can go either way on it. I understand both sides because on the Democrat side of things, their reasoning for not wanting the wall is mostly financial, saying that it's not worth the dollars spent. And then there are also those further to the left that just think that it's inhumane. I think there's definitely an argument to be made if it's worth the money or not, if it would actually be effective. And depending on what side you are, they're going to say one thing or say the other. But I think it's a little ridiculous, the inhumane part, because in my opinion, it's not inhumane to keep people out of your country when they can come here legally. Whether or not the system's broken, TBD, you know, I don't actually know too much about that because every information you're getting, they're trying to nudge you one way or the other. So it's really hard to truly know how broken the system is. But to say that it's inhumane to try and keep border security, you know, talk to the people that are being raped and being, you know, murdered and stuff by people that we didn't get a chance to vet. And I don't think that all illegal immigrants by any means, I don't even think a majority of them, I think most of them are coming here because they want a, you know, a brighter future. But, you know, they can come here legally. And the argument I've always had is because I lean the way in the wall. That's one of the things I do like about Trump. Because he's so adamant about border security, I always say, you know, regarding illegal immigration, it's just like for me, you know, it's way easier for me to just hop on the highway and never take driver's education, never have to go get my license at the DMV, because God knows no one wants to go to the DMV. You know, it'd be way easier to do that. But in a society, there are laws that may inconvenience you just for the sake of the general population safety. And if we need to vet people, we need to vet people. If you have a problem with that, you know, I think that maybe you should look at going somewhere else. That's just my personal opinion. What about you?
Well, I mean, I kind of have it's kind of a hybrid libertarian view on this issue. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, first of all, I'll tell you, my wife is from Canada and we've been going through the immigration process ourselves. And the first thing I'll tell you is it's extremely inefficient.
Yeah.
We've been in the process for quite a while now, and we still don't have it. We've been told there's an interview date been picked and that it's being sent to us, but you're talking over 2 weeks ago. Why does it take 2 weeks to process a letter that goes, you know, from maybe, I think it's coming from Chicago to Orange County. So, you know,
sounds like getting approved by iTunes.
Right. It's exactly. It's like, why does it take so long? And then not only that, I mean, we've spent over $5,000 on the process. And I mean, imagine if, you know, I'm lucky enough to, I'm running multiple businesses and making good mm-hmm. money. Imagine if I was making $10 an hour, how do I afford the $1,400 filing fee to get her here? And so I think that what we need to do is we need to give people a pathway that if they want to come here and work, that they can do that with a work visa where we vet them, like you said. Mm-hmm. And we also make sure then that they're paying their income taxes, because you know what? If they don't pay their income taxes, we can revoke their visa and have them sent out of here. But I also think that it comes down to this. If there's going to be an immigration system at the federal level, and I don't think we're ever going to see that go away, and if that's where it's going to be, then they need to have it so that the pathway to being a legal immigrant is affordable and something you can have help doing. That's one of the things that's lacking. Like if you don't understand something, you call the immigration people and they'll mostly tell you, well, you're supposed to check this box and you're supposed to make sure that this is filled out, but they can't really give you advice. Should you fill out this form or this form? And there needs to be some place. I don't know how it is in every state, but I know in a few states I've been in, the court systems have help centers that people are there volunteering their time to help you so that you are able to avail yourself of your rights. And of course, as a libertarian, personal freedom and liberty is huge for me. So I think if they could fix that, then we get to the point where, and this is where I think I part ways with libertarians, because I feel, remember I said, if they don't pay their taxes, we could revoke their visa and then get them out of the country. Yeah. I think we need to, once we have an affordable system that makes sense, that people can understand and actually have a legal path to work here, then we need to be like Australia, where you overstay your visa, they send somebody out to find you and deport you and attach a penalty to it. You're banned for 3 years. You can't apply again for 3 years. I think what would fast happen is we would make a lot more revenue in the immigration system, because, you know, it's a volume thing. More people are going to apply legally, and you're going to make that money. But also, you're going to have higher tax revenues, because you're getting people in this country who really want to work and they want to take these jobs, and it seems like we should allow them to do that. That's just where I go with it. And I think, you know, as far as my stance on the wall is, I think it's extremely expensive, and I think they need to use a system like we have on the Canadian border. On the Canadian border, we have technology. There's electronics that if you walk across the border, it goes off, and and it'll trigger infrared cameras that'll turn on. I mean, they can find you if you're, you know, trying to attempt to enter the country illegally. The wall, I mean, they're going to go around it. They're going to go under it. They're going to go. I mean, right away, the joke was, if it's a 50-foot wall, someone's going to make a 51-foot tall ladder.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think they'll climb a ladder to go over it, but you know, they're gonna find their
metaphorically,
ways.
Metaphorically, of course.
Yeah, you know, they're gonna find their ways, and I think it may just be too much money, especially since there's areas of the border where the terrain it won't allow someone to cross, so don't have a wall there.
And so when I say that I'm pro wall, I think it's just because I'm forced to, like I said, that's the problem with the two-party system. You have two choices. And the Democrats, they want to say that they have, we're for border security. They're not really doing a whole lot about border security, and they don't want to. And that's very clear because they receive a primary amount of the votes that come from that. But that's a discussion for another day. But it's a little unfortunate that you're forced to check one of the two boxes, which is almost no border security or border security that I don't think is the most effective. And I've always agreed with the argument that, well, the wall isn't the most cost-effective option. The wall isn't X, Y, or Z. Those are legitimate arguments. What I have a problem with is when people come in and, you know, they try and, instead of doing a logical appeal, they use an emotional appeal. And that's my problem, is because I've never really been a recipient of emotional appeal, because, you know, it's not the best way to do things. You know, if you make a decision based on an emotional reaction, it's usually not the best result. And so I think the discussion that should be had is not, and I understand Trump's angle. Trump wants to build the wall because it'd be very hard for the Democrats to undo that, to justify undoing it. Because once the money is spent, that's what we have, you know, taking the wall down wouldn't make sense. It'd be very hard to justify. So I get that angle of it. But at the same time, it's you really have to think about, is technology a better solution? You know, we have drones, we have all kinds of technology we could be using to our advantage. We just need to figure out how to make that a permanent solution, and also how to fix the system. It's similar to taxes. You know, you should tax people. When we tax the rich far too much, they just load all their money to the Bahamas. You have to find the right percentage where people will actually be willing to get taxed. So we need to fix the immigration system like we try to fix the tax system, is where people, it's easy enough for people to come, but we also can at least attempt to filter out the bad ones. You know, that we have to find some type of a sweet spot where it's effective, but also, like you said, I didn't know that type of angle from the Canadian perspective, and I'm sure it's similar to Mexico, because one of my friends had an immigration problem as well. They had to move back to Mexico for like a year to resolve it. So it is a broken system. So we do need to figure out how do we fix it, as opposed to just not doing anything. So like I said, that's what's important about a third, fourth, fifth, and party, is so that we can have other ideas than just build a wall or do nothing. It's two extremities is what it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, like, how do you think someone like, let's say Schultz were to run, and by some miracle he were to win. So now you have, you know, probably a Democrat-controlled House, a Republican-controlled Senate, and you have an independent president in the middle. How much do you think that would affect the outcome of issues like this?
I think the opinion that Schultz is a true centrist is, I think it's a little bit skewed, because if you look, you know, he's a lifelong Democrat. I think it would be similar to like having a 2000 Democrat or a 2004 Democrat in presidency. He would probably lean towards Democratic issues, but the more radical progressive, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders type of things, I don't think those would be, I don't think he would fight for those. But the more moderate type of, you know, Nancy Pelosi would do very well, I think, if that makes any sense, in a Schultz presidency. She tries to be progressive, but we all know that she was a moderate and she's just switching with the times to keep on staying relevant. I think it would lean Democratic, to be completely honest. And then every once in a while, on maybe tax issues, he'd lean a little more conservative, from what I've been able to understand. He's not a huge fan of taxes, but he thinks Trump's tax cuts were a little extreme, you know, top heavy, whereas they should have been towards the middle class, which I honestly agree with. You know, if I could have chosen one or the other, I, as a libertarian, with some conservative beliefs as well, I'm not a big fan of taxes. I live in Illinois, one of the most taxed states in the nation, and I can tell you people are fleeing out of here. So we have to find, like I said, a sweet spot with taxes as well, where people are not, you know, loading out their money to the Cayman Islands, to the Bahamas. We need to find something that people are actually willing to pay, and it's a truly fair and balanced tax. But that's difficult.
But okay, so like one of the things I read is, you know, they actually, I think it was Fortune magazine, said, well, you know, maybe he could help fix this country, because, you know, he's been a corporate executive, he's run a large corporation, Starbucks, of course. Mm-hmm. But then isn't that what they said about Trump?
Yes and no. I think the fact that Schultz wouldn't carry in very many you know, opinions, he's not the most, he's more of an open-minded, whereas Trump, it's kind of my way or the highway, and some people love that, some people hate it. I'm not trying to reprimand or trying to praise him for that, but I think that's pretty obvious. The people love Trump because he's so close-minded, and the people hate him for that reason. So, but I think Schultz is the type of person that will listen to both sides. I almost think that he would be easily influenced for bad and for good, just because he is so open-minded. But he is a smart guy at the end of the day, obviously. You can't be where he is today. But I think it's kind of interesting that the Democrats primarily are attacking him so much for his success when he came from almost nothing. He's quite honestly living the Democrat, you know, the dream of coming from nothing and becoming something, but it's he's being attacked for that. And I think that's why the Democrats are almost losing their mold, if that makes any sense.
Well, I think, like, as you were saying that, I was thinking about how if you are a third party candidate, so, you know, of course, of the major third parties that make sense and have a big enough numbers to make a dent mm-hmm. in a run for president, you're talking about either Green Party or Libertarian Party. And the problems that they have getting elected is people say, well, okay, if I had voted Gary Johnson in as the president, he goes into office with no allies on either side. I disagree with that, by the way.
Yeah.
He goes in there with no allies. I think that's too simplistic of a concept. I think that he would definitely have allies, because I think what it would do is it would force Congress and Senate to start thinking long term and start thinking about the best interests of the people they represent rather than their party line, because they're going to have a president who's going to say, well, okay, the Republicans, you're thinking about the solution this way. Yours is A. Democrats, your solution is B. But like my solution is C, kind of a hybrid of A and B. So now what are you going to do? And I think what would happen is, for the first time in a long time, you would see kind of that Bill Clinton cooperation where, you know, Clinton, despite his moral issues, I think he was a pretty darn good president. And he managed to speak to both sides of the aisle and convince, when there was an important issue and he needed some support on the left, he would go after it. When he needed support on the right, he would go after it. And I think that's what you would get with more of a third party / independent president, is someone who would pull support from both sides, so that what passes would be something that the majority of our country would buy into.
Do you think people want that, though? Like, I mean, I want something similar to that, but I feel if you go on Facebook or Twitter, which obviously isn't necessarily representative to the small towns and all that, but if you go on Facebook and Twitter, that doesn't seem like something that people actually want. They like to pretend like that's what they truly want, but is America in a situation where we truly want cooperation, or do we just want my way or the highway? Let's switch 4 years of being selfish and crying when we don't get what we want.
Well, yeah, you make a great point, because I'm very active in the California Libertarian Party. Mm-hmm. And as a side note of that, there's a person that I've met here locally who runs he calls it a Liberty Club, but it's essentially a chapter of the Libertarian Party at a city level. And there's a city here, Huntington Beach, California. You know, the Beach Boys made it famous. And it's his club meets there. And we just had a meeting this past week, and they're sitting there talking about how a lot of them were saying, hey, you know what? You know, I'm not a big fan of Trump's tax cuts, but it was a step in the right direction. And they say that, but what I've said, and I even have an episode out of Liberty Revealed, I think that the libertarians, and I do think pretty much every party is like this, they're more of a political cult than anything else. They have an ideology, and that's what they want. And I always tell them, like, okay, guys, I understand what you're looking for. You're looking for the utopian libertarian society. But the reality is, you're never going to get that, ever. It's not going to happen. So what you need to do is you need to get yourself elected using reasonable ideas. And then once you're elected, show people how you can govern. Like, for instance, I ran for Orange County Supervisor this past election cycle. And one of the things that I told, they kept saying, well, how are you as a libertarian going to make a difference in the county? And I said, well, the first thing I would do, I've reviewed the staff numbers, and they have like 25 staff members, and they're spending $4 million a year each office. That's $20 million on five districts' offices a year that, hey, I could probably cut that down to five people per office, so I would reduce the size of my staff. And then they said, well, what does that show? What if it works? Well, if it works, it means we can also reduce the size of government, because we've just proven that we can do the same job just as efficiently with less people, which thereby saves a lot of money, which means that money's available for either cutting taxes or using the money for something like homeless people. I think that you have to be more pragmatic in your approach. And that's the problem. You know, if you're a Republican, of course, we're speaking in absolutes here, and absolutes are never realistic in society. But you're right. I think if you were to do a poll, I would say more than 80% of Republicans fall in line with the Republican platform, and more than 80% of the Democrats fall in line with the Democrat platform. And even, I'm going to say, 80% of Libertarians, 80% of Green Party members, I think the majority fall in line with the platform, and they don't bother to think about the real world implications of the decisions they're trying to force on society. And with Libertarians, it's kind of ironic, because I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but like when you become a dues-paying member of the Libertarian Party, one of the things that you initial says you will not use or support any idea that imposes its will by force on anyone. So, you know, they have a non-aggression principle. And it's great. It really is. But at the same time, they're trying to force their ideology on everybody by saying, there's one guy I met at convention last year who's running for president. And he says that he'll be the shortest term president ever, because he's going to get into the office and then he's going to eliminate the federal government. Now ask yourself, you really think the Republicans and Democrats and House and Senate are going to say, oh yeah, sure, let's just eliminate the government. We don't need the government anymore.
Sounds like plan. I don't need a paycheck.
And that's where it comes down to it being more like a cult, because they're only thinking about their way is the best way. I mean, if you've ever, I don't know if you're religious at all, but like religious cults, they all say the same thing. Our way is the way. And so that's what it is. You know, political party, our way is the way. And I think really the way is a mixture of all of the ideologies.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting how the foundation of America was, you know, the popular phrase is a melting pot. But the thing about a melting pot, and I said this on my podcast too, in a melting pot, nothing can just remain solid. You can't entirely remain solid and everything else melt. No, I'm going to keep my beliefs. Everyone else, you'll be open-minded to me, but I'm not going to be open-minded to you. I'm not going to understand your opinions. You know, we all have to melt. And I don't think that was necessarily talking about race. I think that was talking a lot about ideology. And in the foreshadow of this type of thing, I think they knew that something like this would eventually happen. And
sure. So I really enjoyed this conversation. I think we're in agreement, actually more than I thought we would be. So why don't you tell people where and how they can find you?
Yeah, so I'm on almost every platform: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. We'll be on YouTube next episode, and you'll just look up Unfazed with Matt Plautz. I've got an Instagram at unfazed.podcast, and I'll talk a little bit about politics, current events. I'm going to be having guests such as, you know, as Mike said, I'm going to be doing the carnal sin of having a pastor on. But I also want to have a lot of other religions on and just talk a little bit about philosophy and how they look at other religions, I think would be interesting. And also might be able to get some state representatives, possibly even a congressman on. So it's going to be a lot of everything almost. I don't have a set theme. You know, I'll talk about politics one episode, then maybe comedy one episode. It's just really whatever's going on. And yeah, Mike, thanks so much for having me.
Hey, do you have a website?
We don't have a website yet. I host on Podbean right now. And I can show you the link for that if you want to put that out anywhere.
I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
And, I encourage my listeners to, go listen to and subscribe to your podcast, Unfazed. and definitely follow you on social media. And I've got your social media links. I'll put those in the show notes as well.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And again, it's been a pleasure having you on. And I'm sure we'll follow up and have you on again in the near future.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds good, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of Liberty Revealed. If you or a friend or family member wants to find out a little bit more about Liberty, just go to yogispodcastnetwork.com/Liberty Revealed. It's all there for you. And we appreciate you listening. I am a big believer in personal liberty. To me, my rights end where your rights begin. What this means is laws should ensure that your freedom to live your life as you choose does not impact everyone else's freedom to live their lives as they choose. This is personal liberty. If you want to learn more about personal liberty and get more from this show, sign up to receive my 10-page guide on personal liberty entitled Liberty Revealed. You need to fill out a simple form located at yogispodcastnetwork.com/Liberty Revealed. That's yogispodcastnetwork.com/Liberty Revealed. Once you read through that ebook, you are guaranteed to be in a position to apply the philosophy of personal liberty.
Thanks for listening to Liberty Revealed, the show where you learn about all things liberty. Please visit the show's website at yogispodcastnetwork.com/LR, where you can reach out to Mike directly with your questions and comments. Again, that is yogispodcastnetwork.com/LR.